Good morning.
I greet you in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord, on this, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. It's great to be with God's people today. Wasn't that rain last night? Welcome. Yeah. Just not very much of it, but it just kind of damps the dust down a little bit. But yesterday was so hot, you know, with the overcast clouds, and even like after 10 o'clock, it was still in upper 80s, and that was just crazy weather. But so much of our country is going through crazy weather right now, and of course the rest of the world. But we are here, and it's good to be here with God's people today. Amen. All right, very good. So before we begin, does anybody have a joy that they would like to share? Or just, you know, yeah. Your brother got back to Hawaii.
He was back for a long time.
You're glad he went back to Hawaii. Well, good. Yeah. Any others?
Behind you.
Oh, there. Yes. Yeah, I can't hand you the phone. The mic. Yeah.
Well, I spent 4 days on Zoom, 1 day on other executive
on Mission U, and 3 days on Mission U. Mission U and the UMW, and it's all by Zoom still. It isn't quite the same. Because one of the nice things about a gathering like Mission U is the chance to see people again that you haven't seen in a while, and just to catch up with them and see how they're doing, and hear their joys and successes and, of course, their challenges. So, yeah, well, that's great. That's good to celebrate that you got to be part of something that's so good. So good, yeah. All right, any others? Betty Dart's son is, he is not doing well at all. He is not expected to live much longer. He's only 62. His name is Ken Dart, and so she's with him right now. And you haven't heard from her this morning yet about what's going on. So he just has had a lot of health issues during his life, and it's kind of culminating right now. So our thoughts are with you and Betty and the family. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, it is great to be with God's people today. So let us welcome the Holy Spirit's presence with us as we join in our call to worship. My clicker, there it is. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and a swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Let us be in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for this chance to gather together. You're on a cloudy and cooler morning. We thank you for the refreshing of the rain that you sent last night. and pray that we could have some more in the days to come soon. But here we are together with our hearts full or our hearts feeling empty, with our pockets full or pockets empty, with so many things to be thankful for and sometimes thinking like there's nothing going on right now. But wherever we are, Lord, we're grateful that you are always with us. And so we come to you today with open hearts and ask that you would bless our gathering. May we listen to the power of your words to your ancient people. And may, oh Lord, we be set forth as your shining stars of light and love into the world. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Lauren is here to read the scripture this morning.
How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns to new things in the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out to the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and swallowed the nest of herself, and her young, in place of your dwelling.
Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they may make a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. The word of God for the people of God.
When you look at your bulletins, you may notice something weird, that there's a blank page at the end of the insert. And everything is still there. All you have to do is turn to the very back page. with the announcement of upcoming events and everything. You know, it's been a while since I've had to put a bulletin together, and I'm relearning. So anyway, I enjoyed serving at Castle Rock United Methodist Church, and of course, one of the nice things about being at in a congregation is hearing all the stories. And one of the stories at Castle Rock was came from Wendell, who lives across the street from the church. And late one night, he was looking out his kitchen window, and he saw a man across the street at the church open up the little hatch that was the entrance to the old coal chute, and then duck inside. Well, the problem with going into the church that way is you enter the furnace room. And from the furnace room, you go into the basement of the church. And from there, of course, you have access to everything, because I don't think there were ever any locked doors in that church on the inside. So Wendell told the trustees, and the very next day, the trustees installed a sliding bolt on the outside of the furnace door, so that somebody who was in the furnace room couldn't get out into the basement. And, well, that solved that problem. You know, that man was never seen around the church again. But people thought that someone had been in the church for some time, and they just couldn't figure out how he got in there or where he was staying. Carol was cleaning upstairs one evening, and she heard a toilet flush downstairs. So she went down to investigate, but nobody was there. And UMW had bags of food for needy families that were there, as you know, to hand out as the occasion required. And when they went to restock their bags, they noticed that there were items missing. And some people said that in the morning, it smelled in the kitchen like somebody had been cooking there the night before. But, you know, nothing was for sure. Well, although this had all stopped after the lock had been installed, no one could ever figure out where the intruder hid out in the church. So leave it to the youth group to find out where he did hide and solve the mystery. We were having a lock-in, and this was some years after the lock had been installed, so this all happened before I got there. But we were having a lock-in, and the kids were playing sardines. How many of you know about that game of sardines? Okay, it's hide-and-seek in the dark. But instead, when you go and find the person who is it, instead of calling them out, you get into the hiding place with them. And everybody else that is looking for the person who is it also joins in and tries to crowd into that same space. And so pretty soon, everybody is packed in there like a can of sardines. That's why it's called sardines. And, of course, the last person to find the group, as it were, by this time, is the one who lost, you know. Very popular game. We could play for hours and all night, you know, all night long. But anyway, it was Jeff and Mandy's turn to hide. And unbeknownst to almost everybody else in the congregation, Jeff knew of a very special hiding place off the broom closet that was just off the kitchen. And if you open the broom closet and off to your left, you see this small open space. And if you look with a flashlight down there, you can see that this open space was between a wall and the back of the wall-mounted ovens. And a skinny and nimble person might squeeze through there. And, of course, being kids, Jeff and Mandy were able to do that. And when they got there to the space past the ovens, they ended up in the dead space underneath the stairs. And there they found a mattress, a sleeping bag, candles, books, newspapers, some clothing, and also food wrappers. So that's where he had been all this time. And so it was that a homeless man in the little town of Castle Rock had found a secret sanctuary in the church for a home. It was a desperate necessity for him. Why else would you hide secretly except you just don't want to let be known? But I've known other people who have instinctively sought out churches for shelter. One church I was at, we found a man who had been staying for some time at night in the newspaper recycling bin. And he would crawl in that thing after nightfall when nobody was noticing, and he would sleep there very comfortably all night underneath a big pile of newspapers to keep him warm on those cold winter nights. Wow. Now, the writer of Psalm 84 was looking for shelter for his soul in the temple of Jerusalem in Zion. This one of the sons of Korah delighted in his official hereditary office as a doorkeeper to take care of the temple and to also help the people who came there to worship and, of course, to assist the priests. It was a very prestigious job. But it wasn't quite as high up in class as being one of the temple priests. You know, that was the very elite class. The sons of Korah had a lesser but no less important task. Now, when you read this Psalm 84, you could see that he loved the temple and his job so much that you can almost feel like he wished that he didn't have to go home every night. He wished like he could stay there all the time. But instead, like everybody else, he was responsible for locking up the place at night before going home. And then in the morning, early in the morning, he would arrive back there to unlock the place and open it up for use. He wishes with all his heart and mind and soul and spirit and strength that he could be there all the time like the birds that were nesting on top of the columns and the beams of the temple, because, and especially this was important, they were dwelling near the holy place and the altar, places that he could not go to because only the priests could be there. So he envied the birds. They got to do stuff that he didn't get to do. Now, it was a beautiful and a delightful and an inspiring place, of course, but what the psalmist most loved about it is that it was God's home where people could encounter God. You get this right at the beginning of the psalm when he says, "My soul yearns, my heart faints for the courts of the Lord, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Now, you know, each one of us has a special favorite place that we can go to feel close to God. It might be the beach or a park, a mountainside, maybe even a church. Maybe even a church. Sure, we can duck into our personal private place to pray, but you know what I liked about being a pastor was the perk of being able to go into the sanctuary and pray anytime I wanted, any time of the day, even at night, because I had the keys. You know? So I got to tell you, those late night sessions in solitude in a darkened sanctuary were very important for me when I was going through times of loss and times of great conflict and uncertainty. Now, but there was another very human reason why the psalmist delighted in being at the temple, not just for a place of prayer, but it was to see the reaction of people when they stepped foot through those gates. This is a song of pilgrimage. And some of these pilgrims had been going through very dark times before finally arriving there. And can you imagine? Here is this group of people marching or making their way through Jerusalem up to the Temple Mount, which is the highest place in that city. And as they go, they're singing this song. But, you know, a lot of them had a lot of things to be weighed down by, unimaginable burdens of personal tragedy and trauma and loss, and just the anticipation of getting nearer to their pilgrim's goal of the temple was enough to begin to turn their joy, to turn their sorrow into joy. The psalmist says this: "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca," which is also translated the Valley of Tears, "they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength," or better translations, I think, get it right, "from rampart to rampart, till each appears before God in Zion." And you get this imagery of tears flowing down the cheeks of these people, and it hits this dry, dusty ground, and they disappear almost immediately. But actually, the place is so blessed because they're on this pilgrimage that those tears are transformed into cool pools of water. You get that? And it becomes even more abundantly so that the autumn rains almost flood the place with the blessings of God. So, here's this gatekeeper, and he gets to see something that most of us would just love to see every day. Every day he got to see people stepping foot into the courts of the temple and see their reaction of joy, absolute jubilation, and seeing their tears of relief and release and joy. And that was the best thing I think the songwriter liked about the place, besides being a place where he could encounter God. The temple was God's home, a life-giving place of health and strength for all. And don't we all want to spend some time in a place like that, a special home away from home, a place to break away and find sanctuary from a world that can be very harsh sometimes? Don't we all just want that special, safe place? Yeah. Now, throughout the ages, houses of worship have welcomed people and provided sanctuary for weary souls. But as sacred places, they also became shelters for fugitives and refugees by keeping them safe from the authorities who were looking for them. And this was possible because it was a tradition in the Western culture that there is a law of sanctuary, that the law enforcement people, the agents of the king, could not enter the church, the cathedral, to lay hands on a wanted individual because of the rule of sanctuary. And as long as that person stayed inside that place, they were safe. Now, I have served congregations who provided shelter for the homeless, a home away from home. In Lewiston, there was a group called Family Promise, and we had a rotation of churches that would take in a homeless family for a week at a time. And so over a month's time, four different churches got to host them. And I've also been part of congregations that have reached out to people who are wanting to have a place of their own but are too poor to afford one, except through receiving aid. And so also at Lewiston, we Methodist churches in that area joined together in building a Habitat for Humanity house a special family. So this psalm is one of those paintbrushes in the scriptures that makes this picture of churches being places of healing and welcoming and shelter. And this psalm recognizes a house of prayer is a home for all people, especially for those who are down and out. You see, I've enjoyed being part of the family, of God's family, wherever I've gone. And I hope that you feel this way too for being part of this congregation. This is meant to be a home away from home, a place where you can lay down your burdens through an encounter with the living God. And here you can find sanctuary even when you have failed or messed up or had your family fall apart on you or whatever else is going on in your life. This place is more than a building. It's a community of pilgrims who welcome the stranger, the sinning, the lost, the hurting, and the broken. And so because of this, we're reaching out to poor people in our neighborhood through our essentials pantry out there. And we are a village of wounded healers who can be persons of sanctuary for those in need of love and acceptance and affirmation and encouragement and accountability. It's not a free ride to be part of a congregation, friends. And keeping in sentiment with the psalmist who exclaimed, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked," seen on the cover. Well, you know, I think I would rather spend a day being a helper and a healer, a member of a community of faith, a journeyman minister. I'd rather spend a day doing that than spending time with Jeff Bezos in his rocket ship. Okay? I'm not saying he's a wicked man, but you got billions of dollars, and what do? Blast yourself into space? My goodness. So friends, this is a sacred place consecrated to the worship of God and the making of disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. But what makes this place sacred, my sainted friends, is not only that we invoke God's presence when we are here, but also you yourself hallow this place as God's people. As you come to this place and go forth from this place, you bring with you your testimony of all the good things that God has done for you. And as living temples of the Holy Spirit, you bring the presence of God and the love of Jesus to everyone you meet. And so I always encourage you to come here and find welcome sanctuary for your souls. But even more importantly, when you leave this place, be living sanctuaries for others through your love and faith in action. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In our prayer time today, we are going to be, of course, lifting up Ken Dart, Betty, and family. And, of course, Christine, you're here with us. How's your son, Scott? So Scott is now in comfort care, and they're giving him palliative treatments to keep him comfortable. Okay. Anybody else we can lift up in prayer? Yes. Last weekend, Ed Faust's former wife, Rosemary, died, and he was actually a caretaker for her. So our thoughts are with Ed Faust and for Rosemary's family. Whom else? Yes, Christy. For heart valve surgery, for Linda Link. Okay. All right. I better write these down before I forget them. Okay. Okay. And the current news about COVID-19, I noticed that some of you are wearing masks, and that is something I think we should talk about as a congregation when Julia returns. But it seems that vaccinated people are still able to get the virus and actually shed the virus as much as unvaccinated people. And so while it may not affect you in any way, that you may have, you know, have an asymptomatic case, you still are able to spread it to others. So it may be that we are all going to return back to the mask days every time we're in public. And that will apply here as well. I think that we'll have to revisit that policy when, as I said, Julia gets back. So let us be in prayer. Lord, our hearts are full at those times when we have received blessing upon blessing, of grace upon grace. And yet, O God, there are times in our lives when we are in desperate need. And we reach out to our brothers and sisters who are going through tough times, times of suffering, times of loss. So we first pray for Ken and Betty and their families. We pray for Scott and his family and Christy. We pray for Ed and Rosemary's family at her passing. And we're thinking of Linda Link, who is facing heart valve surgery next month. Lord, we are living in a world that is still very much controlled by a pernicious virus that has affected lives in so many ways and have led to the loss of so many. Oh, Lord, help us to make the wise decisions to stem the tide. And help us to encourage those who continue to resist getting vaccinated. Not to get angry with them, but to strongly urge them to listen to the science. We pray, O God, for our world that is swept by this same plague, that we are so fortunate in this country to be able to get a vaccine almost whenever we want, and so many people in the world are desperate to even find a place where they can get one. We think of the crazy climate that we are in right now with the planet. Help us, O God, to all make choices to mitigate the harms, to make this world a more inhabitable place, that we might practice sustainable economies and ways of living. And most of all, God, we lift up our unspoken requests to you, that we thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves and know what we need before we even ask it. So grant those, we pray, in the name of Christ our Lord, and we ask all these things in his name. Amen. So it is Communion Sunday, and what we are doing for that is I'll be breaking the bread and blessing the cup, but individually you will be invited to take with you your own individual serving of juice and a wafer so that you can partake either out in the parking lot or when you return home. So right after the service, I'll make sure to bring this tray and be at the side door here for you. Okay? But, yes, any questions about that? Okay? All right. So, let us give thanks. Okay. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Lift up, let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be your sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets who looked forward to that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the people of company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and gave thanks to you and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when supper was over, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks to God and then offered it to his disciples, saying, Drink of this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink this in remembrance of me. So, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. We ask these things in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Well, looking at the announcements for the week, they are rather sparse. I will note to you that on Wednesday, we will again be gathering at 6 o'clock, tailgating with the Psalms. Let's hope it's a little cooler so we could enjoy the sunshine out there. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 91. And, of course, following worship today, you're invited to join in the Zoom fellowship. And who's hosting that today? Lynn's hosting it. Okay. All right. Any other announcements I need to make for the good of the order? Okay. Very good. Ah, okay. Yes, he needs to be safe traveling, especially when you're masked up for hours on a cramped airplane. Driving to Hawaii? Oh, okay. Yes, and driving too. Okay. Blessings be upon all of our travelers. All right. Let's stand for the benediction, shall we? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
done.